This is an emergency broadcast of the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. This is not a drill. Remove any children and pets from your home and go to your nearest shelter. Remember to at all times listen to the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. And whatever you do, do not under any circumstances trust what you see.
That's pretty pro.
Well, that new intro is so cool. In case you guys are not watching the podcast on YouTube, where we are right now stationed, this is the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. That's I Want to Believe Adam. I'm Tippity Toppity Topher. And I have to tell you something, cuz.
Yes.
So I've been watching the Fast and Furious movies. I'm on a binge right now this weekend.
Oh, yes. I haven't seen all of them. Okay.
They're so dumb, but they're so good. But I'm trying to figure out why they don't just admit that they all have superpowers. They cannot get hurt at all, ever.
Nothing. All of them. And the chicks, the guys, they can do whatever they want. Any stunt.
Dude, in these movies.
Jump. Yeah.
These movies are so horny. It's like every 15 minutes, there's a shot of some girl shaking her butt.
I know.
It's exactly. Awesome. It is the best.
And it's the same themes and humor of the 90s and early 2000s where no one cared, you know, about PC. I mean, and they kept it going until now. Did you watch any of the new ones?
So this is what got me. So Friday night, I watched Fast X, the newest one.
Okay. In the theaters?
No. No, it's on.
Oh, is it out?
It's on Max, HBO Max, I guess it's just Max now.
Yeah, Max. Like X.
And that's what got me going, watching through the movies again. And man, they are. I love them. They're so stupid.
They are. The first one I watched, because I didn't watch the first one, or it must have been the third. It's in Tokyo.
Really?
Tokyo Drift, I think, was the first one I watched.
Oh, Tokyo Drift, I didn't like. For a long time, and then now I like it.
Okay, that was my first one, and I loved it.
The second one is the worst. The first one is the most grounded and realistic. That's where people actually get hurt in car races and stuff.
Oh, instead of them just flying onto like helicopters,
jumping across bridges, doing all this crazy stuff. Yeah,
like Mission Impossible kind of stuff. But they all do it. Every single one of them.
Yeah, and they're all expert drivers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you have to be an expert driver.
It used to be about like street racing, and now it's like heist and like government stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, the government captured them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The good guys. They're with the good guys.
Uh-huh.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, our listeners don't really know, but some of our viewers know that our last video on YouTube got taken down. You know, which we knew was going to happen anyway. I'm surprised it happened on other episodes. However, that one, and you know, one of our listeners was like, well, I don't know why they would do that. I was listening to the episode, and then, at the end, and that's what did it. We talked about it too. It has to be the EU Parliament chick that was saying, you know, these people can go to hell and rot in hell. And me and you're like, yeah,
we're cheering her on.
Yeah,
but that apparently you can't go against the narrative, otherwise you get taken down or it's demonetized. If we were being monetized at this point,
if we were, yeah, no, it was just removed.
Yeah.
I guess we're okay to talk about 9/11, those things, and UFOs, but you know, you just can't go against what the WHO says. I think they put the quotes there that we can't go against what the WHO is saying.
So. Did you? By the way, did you watch the latest video from the Y-Files?
Yes. Did I finish it? That was so cool. Wait, it was about the island, right? With the genetic manipulation or DNA.
Yes. Yeah.
The monsters. Yeah.
It wasn't Ireland. It was outside of, it was an island outside of New York. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. An island outside of New York. I don't think I finished it.
But he was talking about how, like, this, how much the CDC has let escape their facility and stuff like that. It's really good for all you listeners, and it's not one of those videos where he debunks at the end. It's just straight up like,
yeah,
you know, they're terrible at their jobs.
Yeah, and they do have leaks. I guess that was his way of doing it or getting around it. But he was on a live show saying, you know, the stuff I talk about would usually get you demonetized. He goes, I have to be careful because, you know, I'm a storyteller. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling stories. So that's what he's saying.
Yeah, like, I can't remember what video it is, but he says half the stuff he talks about on the show is not stuff he believes. It's just he's reporting on it, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And that he's not... he definitely doesn't believe. I mean, kind of forced. What was it? He hates cryptids. Goes, oh,
yeah.
I got to do it.
Sucks because I love cryptids.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
He did cover all. Was it him? I can't remember if it was him or somebody else who were covering. He was covering all the sightings outside of Chicago. O'Hare Airport. Was that him? It was Mothman and that? Stuff like that.
He must have. I'm sure he covered Mothman. Oh, we shared him too. Was it the map too he was talking about? Yes.
That was him. Okay.
It was him. I remember now. Yeah. He's done so many shows and like such quality shows. I mean, his storytelling and his music and his editing and the lighting and Hecklefish, of course.
Dude, Hecklefish, my favorite character of all time. Lizard people!
The accent.
Even though I know I've said that like 1,000 times.
Oh my god, if you look at the comments, show. I think every three lines, someone's screaming lizard people.
So, cuz, I think we hit episode 40 here. Am I right?
Oh my god, you're right. Yes, so we're in a new decade, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, close enough.
40! So we'll be hitting 50, you know, within the... See, folks, and that's what they say, stay away from podcasting. It's not gonna get you anywhere, you know. You have to do it for 3-4 really years not. Before you see anything. Unless it's a passion, of course, you know. We're passionate.
Well, luckily we're not doing one show a year. It's one show a week.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yes. And you know, if sometimes when the news cycle is crazy, there's a lot going on, sometimes I feel like doing two, but who has the time, right? But if this was all we were doing, you could.
Yeah. A lot of us in this podcast have lives outside of this podcast.
Yes, we do. And I was telling you about something I have. It's like it's called iritis, where it's an autoimmune disease where your body attacks one of your eyes or both your eyes, whatever. I got it only like 10 years ago. It wasn't like it's supposedly a genetic thing. But it only happened to me like later on in life, like only 9 years ago, because very stressful situations. But it's crazy how stress, and we were talking this before, how stress can trigger things that weren't there before.
Yeah, actually, I kind of did. I mean, this is more about personal lives. I mean, you were you were saying your iritis is acting up, and I was gonna, and I said, yeah, I know, because of stress, and I said, yeah, I know how that goes. So I don't know if you remember, I had really bad acne as a kid, but my acne is starting to blow back up, but weirdly enough, it's only on my eyelids.
So that's super strange.
Yeah, tell me about it. I've got an appointment with the doctor.
Oh, okay. But only on your eyelids?
Yeah, only on my eyelids. It's super weird.
That is so interesting.
And the bottom eyelids. So I've got all these like tiny little rows. Yeah.
I had that too. You just have to put hot compresses on them, on your eyes. If it's the same thing I'm thinking about. Well, that's what they'll tell you. Anyway, there's a lot to go to. This was a big one. Michael Schellenberger, and he's a great journalist. He has a great team around him. Also, they really make sure they do their homework. They do their due diligence. They vet everyone before they do these articles. And he says he has more evidence and more whistleblowers in this article than last time. If you remember, there was one 6 months ago he did. So according to him, after Grush came out with his testimony, 30 new whistleblowers. So dozens of government UFO whistleblowers have given testimony to Congress, Pentagon, and inspectors general, says sources. Where is one? He goes, yeah, but at least 30 other whistleblowers working for the federal government or government contractors have given testimony or a protected disclosure to the Office of the Intelligence Community Inspector General, ICIG, the Defense Department Inspector General, DODIG, look at all these positions, or to Congress over the last several months, according to multiple sources interviewed by public.
That is absolutely insane. It's so cool. It's so cool and inspiring to see all these people come forward.
Yeah, and it's because of the protections. If it wasn't for these protections, I mean, these guys were killed in the past. I mean,
yep.
Are you watching Encounters on Netflix?
Is it out?
Yes, dude. Watch. I watched it last night.
As soon as we're done here, as I'm editing, I'm going to be watching that. So the editing probably won't be that good.
It was done really, really well.
Good. That's good to hear. So it's actually worth watching and not some sort of government cover-up job, huh?
Well, okay, there is an episode on the Zimbabwe one. So if you're sick of that, no, watch it. No, there's some new stuff in there. No, never mind. Just watch it.
Okay. All right, sweet.
I mean, this was so much evidence that even Mick West, I can't believe we were bringing him up in the show. I said I wouldn't ever give him airtime. He's a known debunker. Mick West, a prominent debunker. Yeah, of UFOs, said it'd be very interesting. You know, more people saying the same thing independently makes it more likely to be true. What? Okay. Now he's like trying to, he is the worst. But all of a sudden he's like, you know, even him, he's like, wait a minute, maybe it is true. I'll look like an idiot. Because he like debunks like aggressively. Him and Green Street, those two.
You know? Well, who was, one of my favorite UFO researchers, and I'm blanking on his name, of course.
Greenwald? No.
No. The guy from Project Blue Book.
Ballet.
Started off as a...
Hynek?
Yeah, J. Allen Hynek. Started off as a skeptic and then became a believer by the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a good thing. It's if Mick West turns around and becomes a believer, then...
Actually, you're right. Yeah, because he gets interviewed anyway all the time. And if he believes it, then that's it. Because he's keeping at least 30-40% on the fence or on the side that say it's all a hoax.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And he's not as aggressive as Green Street. Green Street just makes fun of everyone. Well, he doesn't do that, West. He tries to like at least stick to the science or his science.
Yeah. Do you remember Philip Glass?
Yeah. Yes.
I hate definitely. That guy. He's
I know.
Such a wet blanket.
I know. But yeah, he
never. I don't think he ever turned around. But he had a vendetta against UFO people, which I'll never understand.
Oh, it was personal. You can.
It was a different time then, I guess. So.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. Exactly. And you didn't have social media. I mean, the thing is, these guys, if you see their posts, it's an onslaught. I mean, it's ratio every single one. You know, it's just because I don't want to block them. I actually want to hear what they're saying or, you know, contribute. I think a lot of people are like that, too. They want to see these guys believe, too.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next story.
If you remember September 15th. Well, wait. On September 15th, the ICIG appeared to deny in a letter to Congress that his office was investigating these claims. Monheim said that his office has not conducted any audit, inspection, evaluation, or review of alleged UAP programs within responsibility authority of the DNI that would enable a fulsome response. So he's saying here, the way Monheim worded his response suggests he gave himself some wiggle room. Matthew Pines, a civilian intelligence analyst, noted last week that the official taxonomy for ICIG activities includes audits, investigations, inspections, and reviews. Is it curious that an investigation is not denied? The investigations division is structurally separate from the audit. Yeah, so they're playing semantics like they always do. Like, oh, we have no evidence that they're extraterrestrial. I think NASA, and we've said it too on the show many times, they're never just playing with words. Answer. Yeah, but why don't they say that's non-human intelligence? They won't use that anymore. You know, they're trying to push them to use that instead of extraterrestrial.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, they started using UAPs instead of UFOs because the language got so, what's the word I'm looking for? It just got so associated with, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
They have to change the wording. This feels like a very similar thing.
Yeah. So exactly. They have to do a rebrand because a lot of baggage, like you said. There's a lot of crazy people that are associated with it, and you know, yeah, and a really just crazy history. So, but the sources who asked to remain anonymous and are all in a position to know told public that in addition to the whistleblowers reporting wrongdoing, between 30 to 50 government employees or contractors have gone to the DOD's Aero to offer testimony about UAPs. Some witnesses are coming forward directly to Aero. I don't know why they would do that. I mean, and they're not even saying anything, Aero. They're having 30 to 50 of them.
Yeah, I don't understand why any of these people would go to Aero. Aero's proven to be, you know, a BS committee.
Complete BS committee. So then, you know, more on this. This is for his paid subscribers, for Schellenberger's paid subscribers. He said, Secretary of Defense, big surprise, Lloyd Austin is trying to undermine Schumer's UAP amendment, telling anyone who will listen that it will hurt national security.
Oh, here we go again.
I mean, look at this. Mike Turner, who's, I think, the military industrial complex puts a lot of money in his campaigns, similarly has tried to kill the amendment and block the congressional UAP hearing after Grush's July testimony. Senator Mark Warner has tried to shut down the possibility of any UAP hearings in the Senate. I mean, why, if it's so fake, people, and you're so, like, what are you worried about? You know, it's just...
Yeah, that's the question I keep coming back to, is like, why are they so scared to tell us about what they know about UFOs and or UAPs and aliens and all that stuff?
I mean, let's put in a national security thing, right? How is admitting that there is life out there, like a reality, right? That there is life out there, probably multiple of them, or there's AI creating or whatever. There's something else, right, that we don't know about that's non-human doing this. How is that against national security? Tell me. I mean, if you, we're not asking you to share with us the technology you've created from it, or...
Right, and we're not asking for the codes to launch nukes.
No.
Like... what is so dangerous about the knowledge that aliens exist by Blink 182?
Yeah.
what is so dangerous about that knowledge that's going to harm? Like, okay, because if I say there's an alien outside your city or town or whatever,
right,
are you going to go start raping and looting and and doing all this stuff?
Listen, I wouldn't be like, oh,
no, you're gonna be like, over. Oh, cool, that's super, I want to know more. And then exactly. You're gonna go and do your job the next day. I mean, yeah, honestly don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I think there's must be scared from fundamentalists, but then how many of those are left? I mean, I guess some right, would say 70 million, you know, we have fundamentalists.
But I mean, yeah. While there's a lot of people who are religious, there's not people who are like what are they called? There's not people who are going to go pillage other cities because of how religious they are, is what I'm trying to say.
Or not
that religious.
Yeah, I don't know. I really, it's just because it opens up the thing of government lying. I mean, maybe that's what it is too, that they've been lying for this long. And everything they've ever told us, including NASA, has all been a lie. Maybe it just opens up that. And it's just, wait, we have enough anti-government stuff going on, you know. Maybe that's what it is. I mean, that would make sense too. But we'll see that. Maybe that's why then it just clicked in my head why they have language in the UFO Disclosure Act that says that controlled disclosure. So they want to do it slowly. Maybe just they're protecting their asses, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
I mean, that's got to be it.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, this world is run on money, so I'm assuming they're protecting money, right?
Yeah, and power. Yeah, and I mean,
and power. Yes.
They've accumulated a lot of money and power.
Yeah,
with this secret. And anyway, Schellenberger was on The Hill. He had some cool stuff to say. Is this not working? But yeah, he's such a great journalist, and it's not something he does only. I mean, this is he. He has almost a million followers on Twitter. He did the Twitter files. He was one of the guys that did Twitter files. He also talks about like climate change and stuff. And he's not some right wing dude either.
I've had direct, but now space relying on secondhand information. He hasn't actually touched any exotic materials or spacecraft. But now we have reports from multiple sources, including people that have had direct contact with these programs, telling us that indeed many of Grush's claims were accurate, including about the retrieved craft around reverse engineering programs. You know, I would say there's still multiple possibilities here. I am agnostic myself. I do not know what is going on. There is a possibility, for example, that this is a kind of social contagion, a kind of
social
effect
contagion.
Of human unconscious that particularly impacts.
Yeah, I think he's trying to go through what the reasons are or what this really could be. And he's just throwing it out there. I don't think he...
Military intelligence.
Because he does, and I don't know when this was, because there are posts where he goes, or even in this clip, he might say that what the reasons are that it's not a social contagion.
Folks, it's not inconceivable. The thing that's so strange, though, about it is this intense level of secrecy, which has actually increased in recent months. So it didn't even make it into the piece, but, you know, they've been denying more freedom of information requests to the federal government, to the main person that requests, a guy named John Greenwald. You know that after during the hearing, Grush said, I'll tell you where these retrieved craft are at specific bases or military contractors. They would not let him have a SCIF or a kind of secure compartmentalized facility. And then now when we, you know, our sources tell us, and some of them were in the piece, actually on the record, we're saying that we're seeing both the defense secretary and others start to kind of close up and try to basically oppose an amendment proposed by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, which would require that the contractors and others with any potential crashed materials return them. So, you know, if it's a social contagion, if it's something, or if it's just a Defense Department weapons program, there is supposed to be congressional oversight of secret weapons programs.
Yeah.
So the level of secrecy that we're seeing, I think, is really unusual and concerning, including if it's just a social contagion.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, he was going through, I think, just the process there of thinking about it. But he's saying, yeah, the secrecy is bizarre. And it's always been bizarre because we don't know because. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, our government has always been super secret about all the BS that they pull. I mean, look at the CIA and all the stuff they've done in other countries.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's not the only thing that they're crazy secret about. I mean, there's so many
right,
secrets.
Right.
But this one, the level is strange, though, because if we were talking about Iran or Ukraine, these guys would have gotten a skiff in a second. But because it's about this subject, no, it's denied, completely denied. No skiff, not allowed. Congressman, you know?
I mean, this is the deep state that, you know, gets memed about nowadays, but Trump was talking about during his 2016 election.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
There's certainly a second, it seems like there's certainly a second group of government that kind of runs our country.
Yeah, I mean, we have it's a secret government, it's a shadow government. They've been bringing this up for a long time. Congress people have been talking about it since the 60s. We have our constitutional government, and then we have this one, this super secret one that's completely separate and runs the show. And this is what they're trying to stop. Is the U.S. government preparing to announce aliens? This is the Senate's proposed UFO-controlled disclosure plan and how it will work. So the Senate passed an act. They passed it, and I think Biden already signed it because it was within the NDAA, would require disclosure of UFO evidence. The act would give government offices 300 days to collect records. A review board would then look at records before going public. I mean, another bureaucracy. You
know. Yeah, I was just about to say, I mean, so you got 300 days to shred any evidence, and then you've got a board of appointed by who?
That's almost a year. You're right. They'll just get rid of it all.
I mean, this is, I don't know. This feels like nothing to me, to be honest.
Yeah. And, you know, humans aren't angels. I mean, I don't know why it's so hard for people to empathize or put yourself in the shoes of someone that's trying to cover up something. Just, you know, they're going to panic. They have time. They're government. They're immune. They have protections, you know, and they're going to do it to cover their ass or to cover our depiction of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Or then they can't rule anymore. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Joe Biden will have 90 days to appoint a 9-person review board. Nine, of course, that number, huh?
Well, and he'll find a way to get his son on there or get his son paid.
Somehow, yeah. Maybe he'll provide, like, I don't know, the new equipment for the board to use, or, you know, some stupid contract where you can make like $10 million.
Yeah, exactly.
So did we talk about this before? I didn't know this, but Chuck Schumer, which I can't stand, by the way. But
yeah, really, I'm not a huge fan of fuck. Wait, sorry, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, but he was friends with from the guy from Nevada, the congressman, the senator from Nevada that started OSAP and all those programs. Reed.
Yeah.
So he was really good friends with him, and apparently this act is a gift to him for their friendship. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. So it's still about Reed, you know, doing that. Their proposal is modeled anyway. We don't have to continue. We know it's probably nothing's going to come out of it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Way she goes.
Yeah, and The Hill also, News Nation covered it. Senate has a plan for UFO disclosure. Here's what's in it. And then, it's too bad our video last week was taken down, because we were going through the department, or was it called Customs and Border Patrol?
Yeah, remember that's right. Videos?
So, you know, that's off YouTube now, but another department released some stuff.
So sorry, real quick. I take it there's no chance of getting that video back up. It's done.
I tried. I did appeal, and they came back within 10 minutes and said, yeah, we took another look. It's that video at the end. She's too hectic. It will convince thousands of people not to comply. So, you know, they're leaving it off. Oh, even though we hardly have any subscribers and hardly any views. You know what I mean? They could have left it up.
Yeah. You know, whatever, man. Freaking tech people in San Francisco get to make all the decisions about who can see what.
Not just that, they're talking about the WHO, an international organization. Where's their jurisdiction? But they're a private company, YouTube. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But they have no jurisdiction telling Americans what.
No, you know, they absolutely do not.
Unbelievable. It really is. It's sad. So the U.S. Department of Energy UAP documents reveal puzzling aerial incursions. Now, a lot of these are drones. The ones in 2021 and 2022. There was one from 2019.
Wait, we have to get better about this. You got to read the title of the article.
Oh, I just read it. U.S. Department of Energy UAP documents reveal puzzling aerial incursions near American nuclear sites.
Oh, shit, you did. Sorry.
I didn't say near American nuclear sites, though. You're right. I stopped at incursions.
Yeah, I zoned out for a little bit there.
U.S. Department of Energy UAP.
You don't have to read it a third.
Incursions near America. All right. So yes, a lot of these are drones.
We've talked about this on the show plenty. You know, UAPs, aliens, UFOs, they all love nuclear energy.
They do. They're
super interested in it.
Well, they're saying that there's no way, even if these were drones from like China or Russia, it doesn't mean anything. Even if they have cameras, they can't see anything. But there was one that they did report. I think it was from 2019. Modified, unmanned. Oh, here it is. Metallic spheres.
Yeah, and we've seen a whole lot of those in the last few years.
Yeah, so it's an intriguing incident released by the DOE. Occurred April 30th, 2019. It was a drone-like object, they're saying. Round silver drone flying around the process area and periodically stopping and hovering for several seconds. It flew over the area for several minutes and departed southeast. It was really high up and looked like it was just under the clouds, the observers report. And that went to Kirkpatrick. And then they're saying here that Kirkpatrick, the only thing he really talked about that's weird are these orbs that we're seeing in the Middle East. Did you see Corbell lately saying that they have something of an orb being shot down over Syria? The U.S. and the Syrians were shooting at it.
No, I didn't.
But yeah, he goes, I have an image. It doesn't seem much. But again, it's just one of these like Foo Fighters
mm-hmm.
that we're seeing. And I were watching Encounters yesterday, and the same thing happened over Fukushima. So there's something with these orbs and Earth, because they're still, they're like angelic in a way, or, you know, they're always
doing good. Just about to say, we've got ancient paintings with orbs and things that look like Sputnik. I was just about to ask you, I mean, I know you've seen it, and the way I'm going to describe it, you'll never be able to guess. Do you know the guy? He was in San Diego, I believe, and he has video of an orb, but it looks really mechanical.
Yes.
Flying over him. Do you remember who that guy is?
I think we talked about that in one of our first episodes. Yeah, and like the first, like either second episode or third episode.
I'm sure we did.
We definitely did. But yeah, I remember that. And he recorded it for over a few days or a couple of days or something, or was it a few hours?
Yeah,
but,
and he thought it was the government following him.
Right. It does look weird because it had rivets, though, and stuff. Like,
it looked
kind of human, but like 50s human, you know what I mean? Or
yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, it didn't look brand new, but it was still like kind of like a drone kind of thing.
Right. Super interesting. I mean, it makes me, I mean, there's no way we could have had spherical drones back in the like World War II days, like in the 40s. There's no, I don't think so.
I mean, they thought that they were, floating mystery ball is new Nazi air weapon. That's what they thought when they first saw them. But then when the Allies took over Germany, they couldn't find any of these things. No evidence of it at all. I mean, unless they took them all with them.
To Antarctica, which is a strong possibility.
Antarctica. Huh?
Which is, I was going to say, it's a strong possibility they took it all with them.
Yeah. Just that stuff, you know, I mean, the really, really high-tech stuff.
Yeah.
The breakaway group. That's right. This happened last week. So I was sending you a lot of things about this. It's a long video, but there's also so much information about this. It's about a new propulsion.
Well, it's not awesome.
But it's new because now it's open source. So a lot of like backyard mechanics and garage mechanics. And now this is Randall Carlson. You know, he's really well known. He's always on Rogan. He talks about ancient technology. So how do I summarize this? The guy, his name is.
What's the name of the video?
Randall Carlson finally reveals proof of ancient lightning bolt technology. So where this comes from is a theoretical physicist who it's like Walter Russell, Tesla kind of tech combined. But then he said what made it work was Randall Carlson's work on sacred geometry and ancient civilizations. When he said when he married the two, he was able to create a new generator. He uses like plasma. They say plasmoids, but water. They make a plasma from water, and then it collapses on itself. I mean, he has billions of these, so it creates an explosion for like engines and generators. Anyway, it's really cool. I don't understand the whole thing yet, and neither does Randall. But I mean, in this video with, I mean, it's a pretty big channel. We should say who it is. Yeah, Danny Jones.
Give part of it a listen.
Yeah. But wait, what part are we here? I'm gonna have to skip around just to get the right clip.
There we go. Look.
And so this representation would be what all of the little microscopic bubbles are in the water.
Yes.
So here he's talking about how this thing works, or he's trying to, all right, because he still doesn't understand it yet. But his research has been used. So here they're talking about how the droplets become plasma and then create an energy, like a propulsion energy.
Except the difference is what this is showing is a collapse from along one axis, and then you've got this vortex. You see on the far right, you've got this vortex coming down.
Yeah.
What's happening in this system is that the collapse is coming from both the north and the south pole and meeting at the equatorial plane.
Okay.
So now you can see there, you got this vortex that's coming down almost like, you see, it looks like almost like a tornado hanging down.
Yep.
Okay. Now picture, but you've got that coming from both poles.
From the bottom and the top.
Bottom and the top, and they're meeting at the equatorial plane. And what's happening is that the plasmas are accelerating down that vortex to high rates of speed, but in opposite directions. So the northern hemisphere, it's counter, it's clockwise. Okay. In the southern hemisphere, it's counterclockwise, and that's meeting at that zero point. And this is,
I'll show you where. And this thing's all open source, by the way. So this is the thing that they're using to do that. This it's on Wikipedia even. So this was made, I guess, in the 40s or something. So they've revived this thing, and it's the one. See, it creates like really hot temperatures and then really cold temperatures. So they combine that to make that vortex.
Check this out now. Okay, so introduced it at almost room temperature. You said 73.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is happening? There's no moving parts in this thing. It simply is based upon vortex geometry, these whirling vortexes. So what comes in, this is the chamber where pressurized gas is injected tangentially into a swirl chamber. So this is the swirl chamber in a vortex tube. In the thunderstorm generator, the spheres are the swirl chambers.
So that, okay, so the first part it gets introduced to is the sphere. And that's, that begins the swirl effect of the gas, of the air?
Yes.
Okay.
Argon gas.
Argon gas. And then it begins to travel through the tubes. Mm-hmm. And there's two tubes. There's an inner tube and an outer tube. The inner tube looks like cold air, and the outer tube looks like hot air.
And look at the cold. The cold air is coming out at minus 15. Wow. With the minimum recorded temperature of minus 50. Steven, what does minus 50 convert to Fahrenheit?
Negative 58.
So negative 58 degrees below zero Fahrenheit is coming out one end. At the other end, the maximum recorded temperature in the vortex tube is 200 degrees centigrade.
Damn.
So we go.
So you see that difference? So that difference, it's called a thunderstorm generator, because I guess thunderstorms are created this way. You have a cold front and a hot front coming in. And when they collide.
That's how tornadoes are made, I'm pretty sure. Yes.
So that's what it's called, the thunderstorm generator. And then it's then creating small thunderbolts, billions of them, tiny of them, to create. It's really insane. And they've tested it with scientists. I think that's happened before here or after. Like these scientists, we'll go into this maybe later. I want you to see the tests, because they have these generators. They have them hooked up to like Honda generators. And it does have to get started with fossil fuels, by the way. It has to get it up to a temperature, which is nothing, like 2 minutes. And then they turn it off and it continues to go perpetually. And its exhaust is only oxygen. Hmm. It's amazing stuff. And this thing, you can just run your house on this. You can have pretty much free AC. Did you see it was minus something on the cold part?
Yeah.
There's an AC contractor also who does testing. Is this one? Yeah, here it is. This is one of the tests. Oh, this is that.
Pre-first evolution in just mild steel, not in the expectation that they would be a long-lived device, but purely to prove concept. So we ran an anneal on the material so that it was homogeneous and uniform.
Let's do this one.
A bit here. Okay, so now he's presumably going to turn it off. It's been a couple of months since I've watched this.
Okay, he just turned it off.
And the generator's running, so let's see what's going to happen there now. Okay, so now you can see what happened. He's turning. Look here, you can see the carbon monoxide percentage going up. Hydrocarbons parts per million. Or no, okay, so he's turned it on. Now he's turned it off. I mean, I'm sorry. So now he's turned the technology back. I guess I skipped forward a little bit too much. So now he's turned the technology back on. So what we're seeing is that those numbers are going down. Right. You see that?
Okay.
See it?
What's that say? 10.4?
Whoops. Well, he's explaining it as it goes here.
Zero. So zero carbon monoxide.
But let's not spend too much time on that. Let's
anyway. So I mean, it's just, and there's a lot of independent guys checking this out. I mean, building these.
He's about as good at pulling up clips as we are.
I would argue I'm better.
Yeah, I think so.
So here's Michael Bendall. Here's the guy. He's the guy who's developed this thing, and the theory behind the technology. And he goes I mean, intricately into the sun, earth, moon system. That's the basis of this. Like, he has, anyway, I'm not even gonna, that's way, way above me. But if we have any scientists listening to the show, definitely go check this out. If you would understand this, you can build one. You know, it's completely open source. All of it's open source. This guy here, he goes through a presentation about the technology. I think he even goes to, he's not that great at present or at explaining though, but he goes through the like how it works, why it's creating all this energy.
Yeah,
and this is all open source. You can download this stuff. And if you are a mechanic or have a garage or something, you can create these things. This is all now, by the way. This is only in the first couple months or a few months.
It's pretty crazy stuff.
It is crazy.
Yeah, long term, obviously, that's going to be the next step is for the engineer.
He put it in a car. This guy put it in a car.
Of course he did. He looks like the guy who put it in a car.
He does look like it.
Bring it down into something that's going to obviously be able to be retrofitted to many different models of cars, and will fit nicely in the bonnet, so that we don't all have to take our bonnets off. But
imagine, you wouldn't need it hardly any gas to run your car. Oh, here it is. This is in the generator. They have it hooked up to a generator. Do you hear that noise? That's from this thing. So it's not using gas right now.
Yeah, that is wild stuff.
Look at that.
You know that the gas companies are going to shut this guy down real quick.
But you know they're thinking that they're not, because you still need gas. So it's not completely replacing them. It's just not using them anymore. And it probably gives them an excuse. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. But why haven't they? I think because it's open source. Maybe if you tried to patent it, or this guy, you know, didn't give it to the public like this, then maybe, yeah, maybe they'll take him out, or maybe they'll try and buy it from him. But now, if anyone can do this, what are they going to do?
Well, they'll turn this into a conspiracy theorist and call him a racist or a transphobe or something.
And smear it. So this thing apparently up here on the left is it ionizes the water. I guess you have to do that.
Man, that is so cool.
No moving parts. No moving parts. It's just, and stuff that's been created before. They've taken like a bunch of different things, put them together, and now, oh yeah, they have investors. They're making a 400 megawatt station in London. They have investors who've put money into it. It's not this thing here though. But still, there's a bunch of these guys doing this.
And I mean, it's definitely super cool.
Yeah,
it's just, there are a lot of people who are invested in the status quo that want it to see it stay that way.
Yeah, and so
this I'm obviously a cynic.
Yeah, I mean, well, me too. But I'm thinking because it's just this, there's so many people doing it. Like, yeah, you could go on the media and say all these people are all kooks and retards, and they're actually trying to say this about Malcolm Bendall, because he got on Rogan. He got on the show with Rogan. Carlson brought him on the show with him, and they took the episode off because Jamie apparently, and he talks about this on the show. Jamie gave, once the guy came, because it wasn't planned or something, right? Like, oh, I have this guy with me, can he be on the show, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And when he got on the show, Jamie just researched stuff and gave it to Rogan, and it was all the negative press the guy has gotten, and that's all the show was. And that's all Rogan was doing, was just grilling this guy on that. So they pulled the show. At least that's what Carlson is saying. But yeah, let's try and listen if we even understand him. He's such a genius.
Yeah.
But he's got the sun, moon, earth. And this is how he designs the plasmoids. And all these are frequencies, by the way, and light. Anyway.
And you look at them, what this model of the elements does is recognizes one fundamental key, and that key was really the biggest breakthrough in science in modern times, and that is recognizing the paradox between, if you have all time, like in 24 hours, if you put a 24-hour clock, which is on this diagram, you have 24 hours here, because it's the most important thing, and the rest of the relationships go off that. But the most important thing is 24 hours and 0 hours occur at the same point. That means that if you take light going through a prism, you can see that light splits up into its frequency. So therefore, if you have all light, that is all those colors, and we used to do this at primary school, we used to color in a little wheel with our little coloring pens and we spin it and you see it turns white. Because if you have all colors, you have no colors. If you have all time, you have no time at all. So,
but yeah, a lot of this, a lot of presentations
no will go idea
over a lot of people's heads.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I know. See, I've read a lot of Walter Russell. He's from the 40s and 50s maybe. And his stuff is so cool. So it's a little bit based on that too, especially with octaves and frequencies, just how the universe works. So anyway, we're gonna put it in the show notes for people that want to just delve deeper into this technology and the theories behind it. And
all three of you.
Oh yeah, plasmoid unification model. And that's what the thunderstorm thing generator is creating, is plasmoids, billions of them, apparently collapsing on themselves and then creating energy perpetually. So, and then here's just one more final one. Tristan from Twitter put a thread, which might be easier for us to understand. Maybe he put it into layman's terms. So he goes, many people have asked, is there any proof that this technology works? Are there verifiable test results? Are there any working prototype? The answer is yes. This video is a deep dive into the functionality of the MSART plasmoid tech. Retrofits, open source schematics, and test results available. Results for fossil fuel engines, industrial generators, and jet engines. That's right. They even designed one for space propulsion. But see how they have all the elements here? So that's what that reminds me of Walter Russell, because Walter Russell says everything comes from, he says, the one creator, which is light. And then when he emitted that light, all of it breaks down into the elements over time. So that's what that reminded me of. And then, Schrodinger. It's not Schrodinger. What's his name? Schauberger. Yeah, Victor Schauberger. Have you heard of him? He was a German scientist.
I know Schrodinger. I don't know this guy.
It was Schauberger, and his stuff is very secret too. He used water. So they're saying, he said this, everything is governed by one law. A human being is a microcosmos, i.e. the laws prevailing in the cosmos also operate in the minutest space of the human being. He used water geniusly. They still don't understand how his technology works. So he's comparing Schauberger's thing, boiler, to this guy. So it's probably very similar because he used water too. So he was probably using the same technology. Plasmoids. He's done this. This is recent. Like a week ago, he created this thing. Applications for plasmoids, form and functions. Taurus, molten sea, Taurus, Vajra. That's right. So they're also connecting this to the ancients, saying that the Egyptians and... They had this technology, and that's how they moved
all the stones to build the pyramids.
Yes, exactly. That they've used this. And here's that crazy one, launch pad. Plasmoid, planetary, power plant, and spacecraft launch pad. I can't really zoom in here, can I? But look, they have schematics for launching into space. And they have... Here they have the capacitor and receiving, transmitting. This is all so crazy.
It really is. I mean, it's super cool stuff. But I feel like we've talked about plasmoids enough, and
we have moved on.
Yeah. We should move on to the next topic.
All right. So next topic. Oh yes. Did you see this? A great meteor of 1933.
No.
So they're saying that a UFO was cloaked in here. This is a real picture taken of this thing.
Man, that's cool. That's a wild photo.
Yeah. So UNL, Department of Physics and Astronomy, Historical Scientific Instrument. This is from Richard Geldreich. We always share stuff that he finds.
For those who are just listening, it looks like a giant sperm.
Yeah. Everyone's like saying it's panspermia. I've never heard of this event. I found it in a French chronology I've been trying to import and translate to English. The Great Meteor of March 24th, 1933. New Mexico, of course.
Of course, it's New Mexico.
Such a weird thing. They said there was an object there.
Yeah, that is. And then, like, the tail isn't straight. It's all curved and swirly.
So bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
Where's the other pictures? Is that the only one? Oh, maybe I have to go into it. .edu. The largest meteor ever observed crosses New Mexico and adjoining states. Sulfur smell persists for hours.
Yeah.
We know that's always associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Its passage, according to thousands of witnesses, lasted a few terrifying hours. That's not a meteor.
Yeah. That's not an asteroid or a comet or whatever.
According to one photo, the large luminous sphere in the center of the image measures 9,600 meters in diameter, and the trail behind it is 1,600 meters wide, which Nininger verified. It appears to suddenly vanish 27 kilometers from Earth without exploding or disintegrating. But no, people, it was a meteor.
Wow.
Don't you love our media?
No, I hate them, in fact.
We're little babies. The great meteor, honey. That's what you saw. That lasted hours in the sky with a luminous object that was almost 10 kilometers. Wait, 9,600 meters? Isn't that 9 kilometers?
I don't even know what a kilometer is. So.
Yeah, a kilometer is 1,000 meters. So 9,600. So yeah, so almost 10 kilometers wide. So what is that, 5 miles? That's not big at all. That's normal.
I'm American, so I don't know what a meter is either.
I know. By the way, when I drove once from Boston, was it New Hampshire? It was somewhere up there, and it was in kilometers because it was near to the Canadian border.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So now, what's next here?
Well, we've been talking about how you know, social observers and people like that who talk about that the cataclysms that the Earth had in the past were not actually asteroids, but they were pole shifts and the sun and mini novas. So now it's become pretty much mainstream because Zach Voorhees, you know, Google whistleblower, he's now saying that climate change is a psyop for the coming micronova event. So he's now in on this, saying this. Even Jimmy Corsetti, huge YouTuber, I don't know if you know him. He talks about ancient civilizations and Atlantis.
Yeah, I don't know.
He had social observers on Friday on a live show to talk about this. So it's probably going to reach Rogan at some point, or maybe not. Because he's CIA. But this is the science, and that we're due for one. That the
sun, they're all CIA.
Oh well, yeah. Especially when you get that big, you know, you get the call, you get the visit for national security reasons.
Yeah, of course, national security.
So Zach goes through and does a really good deep dive into it. We're gonna have to go through it here. But we've talked about it on the show, and just more evidence, you know, and people are seeing that it's true. What's this? Oh, this is someone on Tucker. I think he's a Georgian. Do you know this guy, Paxton?
No, I don't.
He's some Georgian, I think, politician that talks about the election, saying that why would they count? It's not that long. It's funny.
They stopped counting votes on election night
because what they needed to figure out was how many real votes there were so they could figure out how many mail-in ballots to apply to the election. That's what they would have done in Texas. I'm convinced.
So you think that was fraud, right?
I have no doubt. Having been through that whole process.
It wasn't just a water leak?
Totally planned. I mean, it would have happened in
Texas. Look at his face.
I promise you.
But can you just stop counting ballots on election night when everyone's watching TV? Oh, I know.
Have you ever seen that before, ever? For 3 hours.
Well, you tell me. You're the one.
I've never seen it before in my life. I was like, I knew it when they stopped, and Trump is leading in all these states. I knew exactly what they were doing. They were, because there's no way to know where those mail-in ballots came. Anybody could have filled them out. Anybody. There's no way to know where those ballots came from.
It's a weird night.
That's not a dangerous
case. Yeah, it was.
I watched it happen.
Me too. When I say that to people, like, I watched it happen, like, some people, like, yeah, so did I. I'm like, okay.
Well, what's funny to me is that, you know, one of the biggest things about the Biden administration is they always talk about they got the most votes in all of U.S. history.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you look at his approval ratings right now, they're in the toilet.
I mean, did people really hate Trump that bad to put that guy in? I mean, he's a apparently 10 million people have come through the border. 10 million.
Yeah. Like, well, and then you look at the quote unquote sanctuary cities, and they're complaining about having 50,000 or whatever.
Yeah, man. No, it's definitely war. And listen, this guy, he's who is he with? He's someone important. He's former president of the Club of Rome and former executive director of the United Nations. All right, listen to what he talks about here, and maybe we'll understand what's going on.
The problem is that the UN agenda is the same with Davos agenda.
Mm-hmm.
This, in fact, is my main topic for our conversation today. For this reason, this oligarchic, the world oligarchic system, they have the power on Europe because they control all the people like Bundeskanzler or president or prime minister or whatever there are.
So
for this reason, sorry to interrupt you, the situation with Donald Trump was a big shock.
They didn't expect that to happen. That was an accident, I suppose.
Absolutely an accident.
Not part of their game
plan.
It
was the first time of the oligarch system was what happened, an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally you have to be Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the process which we are dealing now with this pandemic and all these liars was supposed to be in 2016.
They were pushed into
exactly, in a sense, to be in 2020 to be a disaster regarding food and water.
Ah,
and
I see.
Which normally they want to arrive in 2025 now.
I see.
So the plan was a little bit changing. For this reason, of course, they will not succeed. This is clear. I mean, the system is almost down.
Mm-hmm.
It's but
yeah, it is almost done, which is. But it's crazy how the 2016 election threw a wrench, and it was obvious. There was something, and we're still dealing with it. They're still going after him. They're still going after, and they're going after the people that voted for him.
Yeah.
It's obvious. It's a war that they lost, and these people can't lose. Could you imagine all the control he's talking about? They control completely Europe, and this thing was controlled for how long? I don't know, 50 years minimum.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Do you remember all those polls that came out that were like Hillary 90%,
yeah,
Trump 10%, and then Trump ended up winning that night.
Yeah,
and then but going after the voters, like you said, yeah, they're definitely. I mean, look at January 6th. What? No one died that day except for one of the protesters, and people are now going away to prison for like 25 years. I mean, and then you've got
taking pictures too from the outside, something like that.
And then you've got the protesters up in Canada. Who were honking their horns? They had their bank accounts frozen for what? For what? So you can burn down cities, and that's okay. But if you honk your horn in a truck, you get your bank account frozen. I mean, there's obviously a huge agenda here, and it's you know, and like the regular people are going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why they're flooding the borders, and that's why they're sending people to those states that voted Trump.
I mean,
that's
exactly. What they're trying
to do. It's obvious.
Again, one of those things where they say we don't have a immigration problem, but when the quote-unquote sanctuary cities, you know, get They had like 100, and they called it a crisis, and it's just like where the fuck have you been all
these
years?
The National Guard. I remember that.
I mean, what are we doing? It's so obvious what the agenda is here.
Yeah,
and most people care, but we're not allowed to care because if we care, we get put in prison. We, you know, get our bank accounts frozen. I mean. It's not even a Republican versus Democrat thing, or
no,
a right versus left thing.
It's not, because if they lost that election that they were supposed to rig back then, means a lot more voted that they just couldn't account for, right?
Yeah,
2016. So they're like, wait a minute, most of the population has woken up to our scam and our forever wars and whatever. What he was running on, it's not like the guy is he's probably still part. He's in a way part of them because he didn't do anything when he got there. But what he ran on was totally, you know, against, you know, mostly the wars and just the corruption in government and the finances. And anyway,
Yeah.
Should we see what else this guy said? Or
I think No. Let's listen. Let's listen. Okay.
Of course, there are the last moments, and we have to be to have the courage now, all of us, to say no.
Uh-oh.
In a sense that UN could be a fantastic, can have a fantastic role,
yeah,
but is not, because it's totally under control of the oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that these oligarchs, all of them, are related with the system of the pedophilia one.
Uh-oh, wait.
Because we know that...
Should we continue? Let me know. I mean, he's going to say what they're into. Well, he's going to say that they have this industry of human trafficking and pedophilia and... Yeah.
I think this is good stuff. Okay. This is what we talk there about on the show.
Yeah, it is.
More than 8 million children per year, which they disappear. 8 million does mean the entire population of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
They disappear without any information, mm-hmm, simply like that. And this is the transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
So this criminal act is...
yeah, and we know that was the end of the clip, but we know they use that to blackmail and control politicians and corporations and CEOs and that's why nothing's done about it.
Yeah, I mean, look how Epstein got in charge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's why. And still, has anything happened to those people? We go after January 6th people, right, and throw them for 25 years, but the ones
but we can't find anyone that was trafficked, and we can't find anyone that was trafficked children.
No,
by Epstein not. And Jizz Lane.
What a name, huh?
I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but
I don't know.
It seems disrespectful enough for her, that cunt.
She deserves it. I know. It's evil. I mean, if you listen to Whitney Webb, and because she interviewed a lot of the victims, and this, you know, what she did, and I don't know. Yeah, evil people, dude. Evil people. They're just treating humans like cattle.
Yeah, seriously, it's disgusting. Yeah.
Well, along that line of corporations stringing us, along that line of war against humanity, here is Toyota Research Institute teaching robots new behaviors. So they are actually, it's pretty crazy how they do it, but they show them.
Just by the title alone, I'm terrified.
Let's start here.
This allows us to teach robots much faster and with significantly fewer demonstrations. The approach holds great promise for creating what we call large behavior models. Just like large language models have revolutionized chatbots, these behavior models will allow robots to perform useful work in ways never possible before.
Up until now, the majority of robotic manipulation work has focused on pick-and-place style tasks, where a robot is limited to relatively simple sets of objects it's rearranging. Our new approach goes significantly beyond that and lets us explore much closer to the limits of the hardware. TRI's robots are now capable of using tools, pouring liquids, and peeling vegetables. It's exciting to see them engaging with their environments in rich, multifaceted ways, and all achieved without changing any code or explicitly programming.
Was that hummus?
I don't know. So I'm not sure if I should be concerned or okay with the fact that the way that this guy is talking about robots, he treats them like little dogs or something.
He does. Yeah. Oh, how cute they are. Now they can do more things than they could before. And they just, well, here, let's listen.
Ramming any new skills. Using this technique, we've taught over 60 diverse behaviors to our fleet of robots. The process starts with a teacher demonstrating a small set of skills through teleoperation. Then, our AI-based diffusion policy learns in the background over a matter of hours. It's common for us to teach a robot in the afternoon, let it learn overnight, and then come in the next morning to a working new behavior. To make this level of dexterity possible, every part of the robot platform must be solid, from the hardware all the way up through the entire software stack. One key enabler is providing human teachers with a sense of touch or a haptic teleop device. Also, just like people, we found that robots learn better when they have a sense of touch. And a perfect example of this is the task of flipping a pancake, where the robot has to make contact with a surface it can't see. Without a sense of touch, it struggles and performs poorly, but it's successful in learning the skill once it's able to feel its interaction with the environment.
Duh.
This is only the beginning.
Oh my God, it is only the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, well, man.
I'd rather have a robot that can actually do things than has issues doing it, or, you know.
I don't know. In my apartment, we've got a vacuum cleaner that vacuums without having to, you know, hold on to it. It just does it itself.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind having like a robot that just clean up all the time, like always do the dishes, always make sure everything's clean.
Our carpet's still disgusting, but
yeah, but if you have a robot going around, like, you know, making sure everything's like neat, you know, just say, like, all right, could you organize that, please? I don't know, put it in alphabetical order too.
You want that robot from the Jetsons?
I do, yes. Well, isn't that what Optimus is from the Tesla robot?
I have no idea. I don't think that thing is ever coming out.
I think it really is, because I did research into it, like, and they have LiDAR. It's basically a Tesla, right? But in humanoid form.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it uses the LiDAR. I mean, they have this thing like pouring, taking care of plants, like, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind that.
No, I think I'm just waiting for nanobots. I mean, that's going to be the real game changer. You know what I mean?
Nanobots?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of, yeah, I mean, what do you want them, like, doing what? You mean, like, cleaning your system?
I mean, literally, they could do anything. They're tiny little robots. They'll cure disease. They'll clean your house. Yeah. You know, they'll make your dog smarter.
Yeah. I just don't trust the people in power, you know, to.
No, I don't. I don't either. I'm just saying that's going to be the real game changer. Not these walking, talking T-1000s.
I don't know. It'll be a game changer to someone who doesn't want to do housework, I think. That's about it. Or, you know, even taking care of, like, the elderly. If they can
that's
carry
what I'm saying.
Someone. Yeah.
But imagine, you know, you don't get older, or you can become younger.
Nanobots can do that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They can keep your insides, I don't know, scrubbed and clean. They can notice if there's anything going weird that's wrong, you know. Anyway,
they can fix my liver.
They can regenerate. Yeah. Regenerate, please. I want 30 more years of drinking.
Yeah. That's what's going to be like. Anyway, all right. So you got another clip or another thing here.
Yeah, you sent me this. It goes, just a simple overlay of the Nazca alien mummy X-ray with Skinny Bob to see if there are any similarities. I mean,
it's pretty creepy.
What the?
Like, I mean, all right. So what we're looking at right now is it's two pictures overlaid. One is the Nazca mummy that they said they had, and we've got Skinny Bob here, and it kind of super matches up,
except the head, right? I mean, you're saying that that's just a helmet or something, or
you know, it's just we don't know how aliens, you know, how their DNA, not DNA, how their anatomy operates. So it could very well just be, I don't know, brain in there.
Yeah, or, I mean, it could be.
Or something. I have no idea. But the whole thing, the anatomy really matches up, and it's, see, the person says close. I think they're different beings. Mummies from 1,000 years ago, maybe evolution. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just... They look close enough where it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's weird that they
the height too is an issue. This guy goes, what about one being 18 inches tall and Bob being about 4 feet tall? So,
but I mean, this could be kind of one of those things where, you know, in a million years, some alien comes down, grabs a guy from Uganda, and then grabs me, and then they overlay the thing, and they go, oh, I mean, they look close, but they're not exact, so they can't be the same species.
And it's just images.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's to scale or anything like that.
Right.
This is something that has been coming up more and more now, and we've talked about them before. Nick Redfern has talked about them, the Collins Elite. UFO investigations... Oh. So last night's episode of Coast to Coast AM, There was a Fortean researcher, theologian Ray Bosch, discussed the origins of his involvement with the story of the Collins elite, includes the DOD, Rick Redfern, and Linda Moulton Howe. So,
Love Nick Redfern. Well, I love his books.
We've read his books are awesome. But so he talks about the Collins elite, right? Redfern, he talks about saying how they are an impediment to research because they're these fundamentalist Christians that say they're all demons and our government should not be looking into this or getting technology from it. And they try to shut down all these programs trying to do it. So here's Ray Bosch. He brings it up.
All right, let's give it a listen.
Okay.
Going on in terms of the research program, because it was demonic, but rather because of what they had experienced, they believed it was demonic. So there's a little subtle variation there. As Nick tracked it down, he found one of the original members, as I understand it, of this group that had taken the name the Collins Elite. And their concern was, much as Lou Elizondo has mentioned in some of his interviews, that this group wanted to shut down any research because the origin might be demonic. Now, that's kind of, in a nutshell, that's the story. My biggest problem with what Lou has reported and what has come out via Nick Redfern and his contact with one of the original members, that is a reprehensible attitude for any Christian to take. Because, again, we come back to, if we're after the truth about the physical world and the spiritual world,
yep,
nothing should be off limits as we explore both of these realms. So to say that we should limit our knowledge because some of it may be demonic, I would say we study it. We discover what we can. If it is demonic, then we decide, all right, what do we do with this? Perhaps we should leave it alone. But we don't just say we're not going to study something because it might be demonic.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't make it go away. So whether it's one man's demon is another man's alien is another man's interdimensional or ultra-terrestrial, I guess.
Absolutely. You know. Well said. Well
George is not a believer.
No, he's not. He's an entertainer, but man, am I entertained.
But yeah, so I mean, it's probably just the intelligence community or whoever, the ones who run the program, saying it's demons, don't look into it, you know, and just shutting down programs. So fine. But Eric Davis, who's, you know, we talk about him a lot, he says that too. Like, actually, that's why they keep it so secret. It's because of people that are in the Collins elite, like these type of mentalities. That's why it's secret. And that's who they're keeping it from. Because if they didn't, they would never have this program.
Yeah.
The excuse, at least.
Certainly an excuse.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm not going to play this because that's right. It's all Russian. Or no, it's dubbed in English. But it was a really cool case that I love. I used to always read about it. And it happened. I don't know if you went through this or it's the one.
I did not, but listen.
It's the truck driver's one.
Oh, okay. I watched part of this.
In Russia, where the big guy comes. Oh, no, it puts a screen in front of him or something like that, right? And it shows fire, so he's got to prove he knows what fire is. Once he passes that test, the door opens for him to go inside. It's just a crazy case.
So I know I say this every episode, but I feel like I'm kind of required to at this point. Everything that Adam and I are talking about, you can find these in the show notes. So if you go on Spotify, click the episode, you can go down and look and click on everything that we are talking about.
Exactly. So definitely go check out that case. It's a really cool Russian case about these huge beings. I think they're probably avatars of something that's really far away, controlling them, but they're bizarre.
Yeah.
And it was in the 80s, I think, when it happened. So, you know, the technology he was talking about was just not even there.
And speaking of things you can click in the show notes, this one requires you actually having to go look at it. This is a crazy video. Don't know if it's true. It's never been debunked.
Not really, no. It's, I mean, they really say it could be a puppet, Hollywood puppet thing. It's
really scary.
Yeah, it came
it's
out.
It's not a painting this time. We're looking at a video of an alien, folks.
Yeah, 1997, this came out. Supposedly an interview with an alien. It was supposedly DNI is the Defense National Intelligence. This is the tag. This came out. I forget what the show is now in the 90s, but I remember it. And it's apparently been shown to congressmen and senators as proof. This one, by the way.
This guy, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the guy came on redacted and showed this again. I'm like, wait a minute, I remember that thing. So apparently this was shown. And what we're seeing is a being interviewed, but also I think at the end starts struggling for air.
Yes.
Right?
I'm pretty sure this is that one, yeah.
Yeah, so there, it can't breathe now or something. So then they try to come. I mean, this is the part that throws me off. It's like, why are they? So some doctors, I think, come. There we go.
Yeah, yep, there it is. Yep.
I think it's just music, right?
Yeah. I was going to say there's no sound to this. But I mean, okay, so this came out in 97, and I just want to know, like, if this isn't real, who put this together? And for what?
Yeah, and I think that's what they try. Of course, it's Reddit, so everyone's probably making fun of this.
Oh, fuck Reddit. Reddit's so stupid.
100%. So where's the 2 million lumen interrogation lamp? And then this guy goes, there are four lights. Oh, my God. Yeah, they're all making fun of it. Is there one serious person, someone that came out and say, I know this?
No, and that's the thing. That's why I hate Reddit, is because all the top comments are always someone making a really stupid joke.
Batman was behind him. That's why. Oh, my God, people.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm talking about. So dumb.
Yeah, but I need to pull up the clip of Redacted, because he had an expert on, and that's where I got the information that it was, that he has info that was shown to Congress. Speaking of Congress, apparently the Biden administration is rewriting the history of COVID. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. And we all know that they are, because they're trying to bring it back right before election season.
Or they're like, oh, we didn't do that. Come on. Because it's one of the reasons why people hate them, because they were so tyrannical during COVID.
What was President Biden and OSHA's plan if 84 million Americans refused to comply with the vaccine mandate or show their papers?
That's categorically untrue. We didn't threaten anyone, and we didn't demand that anyone be fired.
Forcing two-year-olds to wear masks save lives.
And who did the forcing?
Well, your department, or the Head Start, which is under your department, had a mask mandate until late last year for two-year-olds and above, even outdoors. So can you point to any public health benefit of that policy?
Right. We never forced anyone to do anything, because we don't have the jurisdiction or authority to do that.
Did you encourage states
to adopt wear a mask or leave your job?
Did you not encourage states to adopt?
That's not forcing you, right? No. That's not forcing you at all.
Assholes.
What else? Mr. Parker, you're one of a number now of officials in this administration who has come before this committee and tried to tell us that 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Education gave false testimony to this committee, denying that he had promoted a student vaccine mandate when he had done precisely that. Sitting in the chair that you're in now, the Secretary of Health and Human Services made one of the most outlandish statements ever entered into the congressional record, which is saying quite a lot, when he said, we never force anyone to do anything in relation to the widely discredited policy of forcing young children as young as 2 years old to wear masks. And now you come before us today, asked about one of the most sweeping abuses of power that we've seen, that was rebuked by the Supreme Court. And you tell us that we didn't demand that anyone be fired. So has there been some sort of memo going around? Why is the administration insistent on rewriting history?
All you have to do is read that rule, and you will see that it is not a vaccine.
Shut up. Just shut up, man. These liars. And there's, even though we have people on our side now in government, in Congress, and saying this to them, they still lie. Like, I think they're done. They're just so done. That's why we're seeing this, all this.
You know, honestly, this sucks. But like you said, we've got people on our side now, and that's kind of nice, actually.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And he's from California, by the way. So that's one of the seats that the Democrats lost. Kelly was here in Congress, in the assembly here, the state assembly. And he was one of those seats, yeah, that California lost to the Republicans. He's good, huh? He's good in Congress.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, yeah, I mean, all this shit sucks. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
It's cool that we've got people that, I mean, I don't trust that they're being honest, but it's cool we've got people fighting on our side. I mean, I'll never trust a politician. Don't get me wrong.
And it could be just a circus, right? They all have roles.
Right. Yeah. But it's cool to have people that, you know, are arguing against this kind of shit.
Well, you know, he was really against what was happening. Like, that's what made Kylie, that congressman, so popular here. Because in California, obviously, we're one of the most tyrannical states for that. So when he had a voice that was with the people, they became popular. Now he's in Congress. So he's just a cool guy. Now, of course, we have the shutdown, right? I think government is shut down. There's no agreement, partly because one side wants to fund Ukraine and have an open border, and one side doesn't want to fund Ukraine and fund the border. And that's where we're stuck. Traitors versus patriots.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they've convinced half the country that that's more important than our border. I just don't get it. I do not get it. I don't care what side you're on. Aren't you American?
No. Well.
Don't answer that. All right. See, Rand. He's on the floor. I'm talking about Ukraine. A great argument here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Some say the war in Ukraine is a fight to save democracy. But those who say that need to be honest with themselves. Ukraine is far from a shining example of democracy. And while the strain of war can make for questionable government actions,
pause it real quick.
Just
so our listeners know, and I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know, they use how many times have we heard the word Nazi over the last 8 years?
Oh my God. Almost every day, consistently every day by the mainstream. Right. Yeah.
Ukraine actually has real life Nazis that fight in their army.
Yes, real
life. And they got a pass.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Complete.
Yeah. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg there. Exactly. And even the mainstream media was calling them out years ago before this, but they were used that language. Right.
To live with them when the war is over. For all the platitudes about America supporting democracy and making the world safe for democracy, the Woodrow Wilson advocates among us, the biggest recipient of American welfare, Ukraine, canceled its next presidential election. You're telling me we're sending $100 billion to a country that's not going to have elections? We're going to send $100 billion to a country that now has, what, a president for life? I say, oh, well, we could, but it's difficult. Does anybody remember the American Civil War, where 600,000 people died and yet we didn't miss an election? They've canceled the presidential election. We should cancel our aid as a response.
Yeah, I forgot about that whole thing where Zelensky declared himself dictator for life.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. That happened this week. They canceled presidential elections. Man, this is a great clip to bring up because, wow.
Can
you imagine if Biden did that, the uproar that would happen?
I mean, he's kind of trying to, if he's like jailing or trying to jail his opponent. And
We all know he's going to die within the next 3 months.
Oh, man, that would suck. I mean, the Simpsons did predict that, right? They predicted him becoming president or coming down that escalator, and then they predicted him dying.
Him falling down the stairs. Trying to get up the plane. Can you remember that video?
A
few months back.
He fell 3 times in a row.
Yeah. Sorry, completely unrelated to what you were saying, but I mean, it is really scary that in a quote unquote democratic country, the quote unquote president can just cancel elections. I mean, that's insane.
Do you know he's banned political parties, like other political parties? He's banned them. Religious institutions.
We've got a country with a president that supports Nazis.
mm-hmm. bans elections mm-hmm. and bans political parties,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't that like raise a few red flags?
We're doing this for democracy. Anyone? So it's for democracy. We're protecting democracy.
Right. I forgot. You can do anything in the name of democracy.
Yeah. I love those pictures that show Iraq like pre-democracy and then post-democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny. It really is not funny. It's depressing, actually.
It's super depressing. And then don't forget about Iran. I mean, look at pictures from their country in the 1970s and then look at it now. I mean, it's really, really, really sad.
Blowback. All blowback because we're meddling. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
It never works.
No, it doesn't.
All right. So what do you got here, Q-Dub?
Well, it's a new documentary. I'm not going to put it in the documentary, obviously, but it's called God versus Aliens. It's a cool one. You can watch it on Tubi, which I didn't even know of this platform. But it's basically the simulation theory versus a God. So basically an aliens to having a simulated universe tinkering with things. Or like a literal God. So that's mm-hmm. what this thing is about. It goes through all the different scientists on both sides.
Of Islam.
Yeah, it brings up different religions. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's got a lot of cool information in there. The Abrahamic religions. And then also, you know, Dawson. And who's the one who did the simulation theory? Not Dawson. I forget his name now. Swedish guy. But yeah. It's a fun one. It's not bad. It has a lot of experts in there. We talked about this too. Spielberg produced UFO Doc has more than 300 witnesses. So yeah, there's one episode in there. I had no idea about this one.
Dude, I cannot wait to watch this show.
This one is my favorite.
I'm super excited.
It's just insane. Yeah, you're going to love this episode. So apparently in 2007, for 5 months after October 2007, more than 300 locals near Stephenville, Texas reported seeing a large Delta-shaped UFO. Really cool. Definitely, you know, for our listeners, go watch Encounters. Very cool show. I think it's four or five episodes. Each one is about an hour. So there's five hours you got.
Can't wait.
Now, this is definitely fake, but it's hilarious.
Which one is this now?
It has like the cops and then the UFO on a flatbed.
Oh, okay, you're right.
I don't think
this came from. Watch till the end.
Of course, with that music and that eerie stuff in the background, you know it's fake. But look, they had a cop go first, and now look what comes up. And I'm pretty sure it's fake. I don't care if it's 4 a.m. So there's a truck, a semi, and then there it is.
It's probably. Like a prop for a movie,
is my guess. I mean, it's pretty big.
I mean, because that's not CGI.
No. But so someone did create this.
Yeah.
Why do they have all these trucks? Well, I guess because it's huge.
Yeah.
Right. And then did you see this? Everyone's seen this one. Pretty cringe. Donald Duck. Maybe let's play it for people who haven't seen it heard it.
Let's play it.
Ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
Yeah! Man, they really don't want him to win, even though he's leading in the polls like in every place. They really don't.
10 more points after this. 10 more.
Yeah, they really don't want
ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
I mean, the thing is, the guy knows marketing.
He does. Yeah, he's better than them in marketing.
What's that?
He's better than them in marketing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it can't be that. It kind of looks like they're taking sides that way, you know? But it is what it is. They're just upset that he's not there.
Yeah.
Because they can call him out for printing $7-8 trillion for the vaccine. You know, they could.
Mm-hmm.
And he is ducking. But that's pretty much it. We have a few comedy things. Well, you sent me that one clip. If you want to end the show with that, the Swag Ultra episode 1.
Oh, man. That's... I love it. It's weird. It does not work in an audio format. If you want to play it, that's fine. Hopefully we have another clip to play.
I only had one more, which is these guys, these DNC shills.
Oh yeah, you sent this to me.
But someone made a video of them.
It's Beavis and Butthead, right?
It's Beavis and Butthead. They put them on Beavis and Butthead. They have Bud Light here. I guess they're drinking Bud Light too, and there's Biden. But it's these guys who just they're on Adderall or something, or at least this guy is. Sisu, his last name is Sisu. But he talks about gun control and he loves Biden. Biden is a genius. So there's this clip that shows Obama is also directing them. It's funny. It's less than a minute long. And they're all hopped up, you know, you can tell.
Oh, the Republican Party sucks.
Yeah, butt munchers.
Donald Trump is a fraud.
Yeah, and we don't even get paid for this.
Yeah, the DNC doesn't even pay us. What was wrong with that?
The DNC does pay you.
I forgot. Other way.
And action.
We don't like Republicans.
No, you guys suck.
You'll never be like President O'Biden.
Never.
President O'Biden is like the best.
Yeah, he saved America. Vote for O'Biden.
We know stuff.
Yeah, we're smart.
I'm a green belt, motherfucker.
Green belt.
You don't have to read a teleprompter.
Yeah, nobody writes a script for us.
Yeah, we're smart. We know all about... Wait, what? What does that say?
Cut. I don't know. I've never heard of that word before.
Come on, guys. You're supposed to rehearse your line.
Oh, I love the internet. All right, so there's this one left.
Yeah, let's just we'll play it. This is for our YouTube audience.
All right,
this movie, there, this short clip is pretty wild.
So wait, but let's give context. We've shared videos, like the really strange videos of that guy who was like burning envelopes. so that's what this is related to. That right?
Tragedy.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. So he leaves this. He leaves the message for this guy.
No. This is the guy that left the message.
Oh, so it is. Okay, so it's the same dude.
No. So the other videos we've sent are the guy. Yeah. It's the guy who's laying on the ground right here. It's his brother he leaves the messages for.
All right. Got it.
He's obviously they've got a weird sense of humor like I do. So that's why I like this. All right. Let's give it a play.
Ben, this is your central nervous system. Our vital signs are in critical condition. We will have to seek emergency care if you do not get up right now. Get up. Now. Uploading memories. Upload failed. Communication error. We are currently suffering from a concussion. If you don't act quickly, we will collapse and die. We'll need to take these pills. Its molecular formula is C16H21O3. This will stabilize us for a short time and minimize your...
What is it?
Like bath salts.
Oh, bath salts.
Concussion. After that, it will kill you, but we have no choice. You can buy them from this man. Professional killer assassin murderer for now, hire, hit pause the real only quick. Person selling...
So that guy who's doing karate,
yeah,
that's the music. That's the guy, you know, he's the one that gets the phone calls and makes music out of them.
Oh, okay.
That's his brother.
He gets the messages.
Yeah. He's the one that gets the messages.
Ben, why don't you answer me, Ben?
Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Molecular formula C16H21O3. Each pill costs $10. Your bank accounts have been frozen, so we'll need to improvise. There's a warrant out for your arrest. So lay low. Use this payphone to set up a meeting with our man.
Hey, is it a coincidence that they're using that same female robot voice we use for our intro?
Is it the same one? I didn't notice.
It is the same one. Listen, listen to it.
Please hang up.
We'll need to turn these coins into cash. He will kill us if we pay him in change. 20 minutes until death. The bank is 1 mile away. will need to pick up the pace if we want to survive. 8 minutes until death. One minute until death. Ten seconds until death. Nine. Eight. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two. One. We are now experiencing death. You must take these pills immediately or we will die. We are in the danger zone. We are experiencing death. Hurry, Ben. This is our last chance. We are dying. Hurry, Ben. Crisis averted. Condition stabilized. Heart rate increasing. Agility enhanced.
Oh no.
The look on his face as he's stabbing the air.
Okay, yeah. Now we have some work to do.
And he never made... all looking like that and stabbing in the air is hilarious.
He never made an episode 2, and I'm so disappointed because I wanted to see where that story goes.
I guess people didn't like it very much or something.
I don't know. I mean, neither one of them are super popular on... Neither one of them are super popular on YouTube. They get 30,000 views or whatever, but...
I guess for YouTube. I mean, 30,000
views. For YouTube, that's not super popular. So we're done, cuz?
I had that queued up, but yeah, that's it.
All right.
What are we at? An hour and a half? Nice.
Yeah,
this is sweet. Yeah. Short and sweet, I mean. I remember when we first started, you're like, you know, we shouldn't go past an hour. And you would always like make a hard stop after an hour, like no matter what.
Yeah.
And then, we've had some
close to 2 hours.
I think we have one that a couple that are over 2 hours. And those were the ones that people listened all the way through.
That's crazy to me.
Like the Grush ones, like when the Congress hearings.
Yeah,
congressional hearings happen. That's one of our longest ones, and it's one of the most popular ones.
Well, if you've got it, flaunt it.
Yes, absolutely. So this is episode 40.
Episode 40. We're so old. No offense.
I'm going to keep it at season 1 always.
Well, you know what we'll do? Like around Christmas, we'll take a break, and then once we come back, we'll call it season 2.
Okay, yeah. We can have re-upload things? Or we can do stuff like that.
We don't need to re-upload. Oh, you know what we need to do is put the trailer in the trailer spot.
I don't know how to do that on Spotify. I tried so hard, and I actually did that when I uploaded it. I actually marked it as a trailer, and there's no way now. They say I couldn't find it, at least maybe you can find it. There's no way to mark something as a trailer. Before it was much easier, so they must have changed it because you can literally go on the settings.
Well, because right now we have an episode as the trailer.
I know.
Well,
even though that trailer is marked as trailer, I mean, I'll try to figure it out again today, but I just couldn't last week. It's very strange. It was much easier before, and it's not there anymore, or I don't know. Very weird.
That's weird. Listeners, we have a trailer out. Is it on YouTube, by the way?
It is on YouTube, and it's set as the trailer on YouTube, too.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so that's something.
Yeah. I mean, it's up even with audio. I just wish we could mark it as a trailer, which is supposed to be normal.
Yeah. I don't remember what episode, like, on Spotify. Do you remember the episode number that is the trailer at the moment?
13 or 12. Just when we started getting into, like, this type of format where, before we were, like, on Skype recording it.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are a lot different now.
Yeah, we've come a long way.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. This has been the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. UAP
Yes.
That is I Want to Believe Adam, and he is going to tell us where you can find our show, even though we've been talking about it for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're on all different platforms. I think if you just put UAP, we might not come up. Not really sure, even though it's in our name. But put Uncovering Anomalies Podcast, and we'll show up.
Original, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, it was a pretty clever way to name the podcast. And then we're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on Rumble for video. We're on Twitter at UAP the Podcast, and that's all our social media. And yeah, that's about it. Hit us up anywhere. You can email us at uncoveringanomaliespodcast@gmail.com if you want.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, or just hit us up on Twitter, or leave us feedback on Spotify or any other platforms. So
yeah, special shout out to Catherine, our super fan. She's left us several reviews of the shows, and we really appreciate her for that.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. And now she's up to speed. I mean, if you've read Day After Roswell, you pretty much know all of it, because he says almost everything in there.
Yeah,
really cool book to read. Really cool book.
All right. Yeah. Well, I guess that's gonna do it from us. Like I said, thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you all next week.